Saraswati Bibi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. We are assembled here in New Dwaraka to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, entitled The Creative Impetus. Today's verse is number 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, since the verse is in prose form and it's very long, it has not been written on the board. So I'll chant the verse and then we'll respond for the synonyms. Tasmin uhava upashama shila paramaharishaya sakala jiva nikaya vasasya bhagavato vasudevasya Bhitanang Sharana Bhutasya Srimach Charanara Vinda Virata Smarana Vigalita Parama Bhakti Yoganu Bhavena Paribhavi Tantar Hridayadi Gate Bhagavati Sarveshang Bhutanam Atma Bhute Pratyag Atminyivatmanas Tadatmyam Abhisheshena Samiyu. Now with the word for words, please repeat. Tasmin. In that Paramahansa Asram. Certainly. So celebrated. Indeed. Upashama Shila. In the renounced order of life. Parama Rishaya. The great sages. Sakala. All. Jiva. Of living entities. Nikaya. In total. Avasasya. The residence. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudevasya, Lord Vasudeva. Bhitanam, of those afraid of material existence. Sharana Bhutasya, the one who is the only shelter. Srimat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Charana Aravinda, the lotus feet. Avirata, constantly. Smarana, remembering. Abhigalita, completely uncontaminated. Parama, supreme. Bhakti Yoga, of mystic devotional service. Anubhavena, by the prowess. Paribhavita, purified. Anta, within. Hridaya, the heart. Adigate, perceived. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvesham, of all. Bhutanam, living entities. Atma Bhute, situated within the body. Pratyak, directly. Atmani, with the Supreme Super Soul. Eva, certainly. Atmana, Of the self. Tadatmyam. Qualitative equality. Avisheshena. Without differences. Samiyu. Realized. Now we will respond, hopefully, to the translation. Thus situated in the renounced order, from the beginning of their lives, all three of them completely control the activities of their senses, and thus became great saints. They concentrated their minds always upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the resting place of the totality of living entities, and who is therefore celebrated as Vasudeva. Lord Vasudev is the only shelter of those who are actually afraid of material existence. By constantly thinking of his lotus feet, these three sons of Maharaj Priyavrata became advanced in pure devotional service. By the prowess of their devotional service, they could directly perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, and realize that there was no, that there was qualitatively no difference between themselves and him. Now we will study Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. And Prabhupada has written a nice full-length purport. The Paramahamsa stage is the topmost position in renounced life. In sannyas, the renounced order, there are four stages: Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. According to the Vedic system, when one accepts the renounced order, he stays outside his village in a cottage, and his necessities, especially his food, are supplied from home. This is called the Kutichaka stage. When a sannyasi advances further, he no longer accepts anything from home. Instead, he collects his necessities, especially his food, from many places. This system is called Madhukari, which literally means the profession of the bumblebees. As bumblebees collect honey from many flowers, a little from each, so a sannyasi should beg from door to door, but not accept very much food from any particular house. He should collect a little bit from every house. This is called the Bahudaka stage. When a sannyasi is still more experienced, he travels all over the world to preach the glories of Lord Vasudeva. He is then known as Parivrajakacharya. The sannyasi reaches the Paramahamsa stage when he finishes his preaching work and sits down in one place strictly for the sake of advancing in spiritual life. An actual Paramahamsa is one who completely controls his senses and engages in the unalloyed service of the Lord. Therefore, all three of the sons of Priyavrata, namely Kavi, Mahavira, and Sabana, were situated in the Paramahamsa stage from the very beginning. Their senses could not disturb them, for their senses were completely engaged in serving the Lord. Therefore, the three brothers are described in this verse as upashamashila. Upashama means completely subdued. Because they completely subdued their senses, they are understood to have been great sages and saints. After subduing their senses, the three brothers concentrated their minds upon the lotus feet of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, the lotus feet of Vasudeva are everything. Lord Vasudeva is the reservoir of all living entities. When this cosmic manifestation is dissolved, all living entities enter the supreme body of the Lord, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, who merges within the body of Mahavishnu. Both of these Vishnu tattvas are Vasudeva tattvas, and therefore the great sages, Kavi, Mahavira, and Savana, concentrated always upon the lotus feet of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. In this way, they could understand that the Supersoul within the heart is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they could recognize their identity with Him. The complete description of this realization is that simply by discharging the unalloyed form of devotional service, one can realize his self completely. The Parama Bhakti Yoga mentioned in this verse means that a living entity, by dint of unalloyed devotional service, has no other interest than the service of the Lord, as described in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. By Parama Bhakti Yoga, by elevating oneself to the highest platform of loving service, one can automatically be relieved from the bodily concept of life and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. As confirmed in Brahma Sanghita, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Sandak Sadaiva Rideyeshu Vilokayanti Yang Syama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. An advanced devotee who was known as a sat or saint can always see within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Krishna, Shyama Sundara, expands himself by his plenary portion, and thus a devotee can always see him within his heart. And that ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to today's verse. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Basari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Priyavrata's three sons were in the renounced order, and it says here, completely controlled the activities of their senses. So this is what spiritual life is all about. Materialistic life means enjoy the senses. But spiritual life means to control the senses. And the first business is to control the mind. Savai Manak Krishna Pararavindayo. When Shukadeva Goswami describes Ambarish Maharaj in the ninth canto, there is several verses, and Prabhupada quotes these verses many times throughout his book. The first line, Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo, First, control the mind. Same thing in the song by Govinda Das. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. My dear mind, he's preaching to his mind. Let us cooperate together. That please, let's be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That will make us fearless. And today, as we go to the verse, Lord Vasudeva is the only shelter of those who are actually afraid of material existence. So this ties in with this song, because he's saying that if we can be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, Vasudeva, then abhay, fearless. Otherwise, material existence means to be always in a fearful situation. That is what material consciousness dictates. You must be full of fear, unless you're a complete fool. But if you have any kind of rationality, if you are in material consciousness, then you must be full of fear. So this becoming free from fear is easy for a devotee, because the devotee knows, I have no shelter other than Krishna. And notice in Lord Chaitanya's 8 verses, what's the first thing? Cheto darpana marjanam. Cleanse the mind. The mind is just like a mirror, filled, covered by layers and layers of dirt and dust, material consciousness, lust, anger, greed. So the first order of spiritual life, control the mind. And the mind is controlled. Lord Chaitanya makes it so easy. You want to control your mind? Easy. Just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. If there's anything I should learn in the Krishna consciousness movement, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam. This is the only way. Whatever the problem is, whatever the difficulty, it should be solved by chanting loudly the holy name of God. Everything rests upon this axiomatic principle, foundational principle. Chant Hare Krishna always. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Krishna said in Gita that the great Mahatmas, what are they doing? Always chanting. And what does Lord Chaitanya order? Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Chant always Hari. Not somebody else. Hari Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it has been my experience for over 35 years. I can't believe it. People ask me, and I say, still chanting after all these years. I can't believe it. I'm still chanting. I've done something right. I may have done this, I may have done that, I may have done so many things, but I can say, I'm still chanting after all these. That is my only, you could say, success in life. I got nothing else to show. No teeth, no money in the bank account, but at least I can say, Hari Bol Prabhu, I'm still chanting. How about you? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And my prayer, I've said it many times around the world. My prayer, yes, I know I have to take at least one more birth, if not more. That I know. I'm not going back to Godhead. That Krishna and Prabhupada, you want to come back to God? No. Not yet. So that's all right. But my prayer is, as I'm coming out of the womb of my next mother, I want to be giving the doctor a big shock. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I want that doctor to go. I want to come out not whining and moaning and screaming, but yeah, I like to singing. Hare Krishna. That's my prayer. My Lord, please. Continuing. They concentrated their minds always upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Krishna consciousness. Twice Krishna says, Manmana, in the Bhagavad Gita, at the end of the ninth chapter, halfway through the Gita, Manmana, think of me. Then, in the 18th chapter, when he tells Arjuna, now I'm going to tell you the most confidential of the most confidential knowledge. What is that? Manmana, think of me. What did he tell Arjuna in chapter 8? My dear Arjuna, you should execute your duty of fighting, but think of me at the same time. Remember me. Go on remembering me. And at the same time, fight this war. And I've always said, so what's my excuse? Arjuna is being asked to fight a battle, shoot arrows, kill. He's not in some peaceful yoga studio. He's in the middle of a battle with chariots and elephants and horses and flaming brahmastras. It is, you know, not a vacation on that battlefield of Kurukshetra. Yet Krishna is saying, Arjuna, I want you to yudhyasva, continue fight. And by the way, at the same time, think of me. So what's my excuse? Oh, I can't think of Krishna because I got to do my taxes. I can't think of Krishna because I got to drive on the 405 freeway. I can't think of Krishna because I got to do my homework. I can't think of Krishna because this is silly. There is no excuse. So when Krishna says, continue to fight and at the same time think of me, it is applicable to everyone. Don't give an excuse. There is no excuse. So this is what we are meant to do. Always think of Krishna. Always be hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, talking about Krishna, chanting Krishna. Everything is Krishna. When that one beetle said to Prabhupada, how do we know who is the guru? There are so many gurus. How do I know who's the real guru? Prabhupada so expertly said, find the one most addicted to Krishna. I find it so wonderful Prabhupada used that word addicted. Because at that time, what was John Lennon addicted to? Two things, Yoko Ono and heroin. Those were his two addictions. So Prabhupada was so brilliant. Find the person most addicted to Krishna. So if someone is addicted to something, that means they can't live without it. They're always doing it. And nowadays there are so many addictions. Sex addiction, drug addiction, television addiction. There's so many addictions. You name it. This material world makes you an addict on so many different levels. So our solution is become addicted to Krishna. Become addicted to Krishna Prasad, to Krishna's kirtan, to Krishna's service. Just like anyone who has a taste for some service, they cannot give it up because they have become addicted to that service. If someone is, like we see today, how nice the deity is addressed. Look at Dwarkadish, how nicely he's dressed. So if you told the pujari, okay, you can no longer dress, they would feel like their life is gone because they have a taste. Or, I'm sure, if we ask Sura, all right, you cannot do any more bhajan, Sura will curse you to die. Sura Das will say, Ma jiva mamaro, don't die, don't live. Am I right? Are you not addicted to your chanting your bhajans, huh? Whatever that meant. I think he said yes. Right? So that is a very fortunate position. If you can become addicted to some aspect of devotional service, that is your success. To become I must do this service. I must do this particular service. That is an excellent sign. And that is the guru, the one who is addicted to Krishna. Because he cannot live without Krishna. Somebody who is addicted to some drug, they feel, and in some cases it's actually biological, physiological, that they have to have that. Otherwise, it's too excruciating. So yes, Lord Chaitanya, he is the best example. So addicted to Krishna that even the thought of separation is too painful. So we need to, you're going to become addicted to something. No, don't, you're going to be addicted to something. Either Maya or Krishna. Take your pick. But you are going to be addicted to something. Thank you. Confirmed by the conch shell. Yes. So take your choice. If you become addicted to the material energy, what is going to be the result? Kicking, kicking, kicking. You are going to be kicked by that material energy. You become addicted to Krishna, anandam buddhi vardhanam, Lord Chaitanya says. You become addicted to Krishna, anandam buddhi vardhanam. You will be drowning in an ocean, an ever-increasing ocean of bliss. So take your pick. Take your pick. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it is described here. Vasudeva is the resting place of all living entities. Just like we have another name, Narayana. Narayana. Also, this was explained in the Krishna book, 10th canto, when Brahma was offering his prayers after doing his mischief, and then the mischief was played back on Brahma, and then Brahma had to come crying. It is described he was crying at the lotus feet of Krishna. Big, big Brahma, right? The creator of the universe. What was he doing? Crying at the lotus feet of Krishna. Begging forgiveness. If somebody is very, very... And Brahma is the supreme person in the universe. When somebody is very, very prestigious to present oneself crying, not very easy to do. It's a blow to the ego. So one of his prayers, he explained to Krishna, "You are my father... because I am born from you, Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, right? Therefore, all living entities," and he used this word, Narayan, the shelter of all living entities. And then again, Lord Vasudeva is the only shelter of those actually afraid of material existence. And Krishna says the same thing. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 14. I recommend this verse as being one of your top 10. Daiviyesha gunamai mamamaya duratyaya mam evaye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. Krishna says, this material energy of mine is insurmountable. Very, very difficult to overcome. Durga, fortress. We're locked up here in this material existence. They have this expression, lockdown. Lockdown. That means you're in a very severe prison. Lockdown. That means you don't have freedom. You're in that cell. One time, a few years ago, I went to Panama, and so we did a prison program. And we were allowed to go and see the inmates in their cell. And I had heard that in countries outside of America, the prisons in America look like hotels compared to the prisons in other countries. So when I went through this prison in Panama, I felt like, oh my God, this is just like a chicken coop. It was horrible the way that they had to live. But they were in lockdown. So this material world is a fortress. It's locked down. So Krishna is not joking when he says, very difficult to overcome. Insurmountable. But if you surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. Same thing in that song. Taraha e bhava sindure. Same thing Govinda Das. He says Bengali, Krishna says in Gita Sanskrit, but it's the same thing. Mayame tam tarantite taraha e bhava sindure. The only way to get out of the fortress, the chicken coop, the prison, whatever word you want to use, surrender. Look at Gaur Nithai. This is the sign of surrender. Your hands are up, and what are they doing? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And these three sons of Priyavrata, constantly thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. And that is how they became advanced in pure devotional service. So, it's not any material requirement. It's not any material facility. It simply has to do with your and my surrender. It has nothing to do with anything else. Anyone can surrender to Krishna at any time. Because it doesn't depend on anything but me and you. At any time, we can surrender. And by surrendering and constantly thinking, that is how to advance in pure devotional service. And thus they could perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada quoted that nice verse from the Brahma Sanghita. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. But how? How? That verse from the Brahma Sanghita is teaching us how to do it. Simple. Smear your eyes with the ointment of love of God. Then you can see Krishna everywhere. So we must get that ointment. And that ointment, how to see with love of God? Incessantly chant. Incessantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there was no qualitative difference between themselves and God. That is the key. Qualitative. We're not impersonalists. The impersonalist, Mayavadi, thinks that vimukti manina. In his mind, he thinks, now I have become one with God. I am equal to God in all respects. Vimukti mani. But it is only in his mind. It's not real. It's an imagined state of liberation. Because the oneness is only on the basis of quality. Krishna is always going to be in the superior position, even in the spiritual world. He may agree to become subordinate, but constitutionally, he's always superior. I am not going to become the God. I'm not going to become equal to the God. I will always remain subordinate. I will always remain dependent, no matter how hard I try. No matter how bad I want it, I'm not going to become equal to God. That's why the term is used, asamardva. No one is equal to the Godhead, and no one is greater. Even Krishna himself says it. Matat parataram nanyat. There is no truth superior to me. And devotees, they accept that, and they simply want to become the surrendered servant eternally of Krishna. And with this mood, in the mood of humility and surrender, then the devotee can constantly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Time for 5 minutes of questions. And to begin the festivities, we have Archita Das.
Hare Krishna. It's only festive because you're here. Hare Bol. Thank you for a nice presentation. This purport refers to something that has always kind of puzzled me. It refers to the fact that the living entities are wound up into the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who's then wound up into the Mahavishnu. Yet, we remain impure. While on the other hand, we hear that if you have any contact with Krishna at all, you will become purified. So how to explain that? On the one hand, any contact with Krishna will purify the living entity, yet we remain within the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is within Mahavishnu, for millions and billions of years, and we still don't become purified. How is that possible?
Because contacting means that you are in your pure original consciousness. Let's say, for example, so many people during the Krishna Leela, they were coming in contact with Krishna, but they could not realize who Krishna was. In fact, in the third canto, we see Uddhava say the Yadu dynasty at best understood him as the super soul. So to actually understand Krishna, Bhagavad Gita answers this. Anyone who knows Bhagavad Gita, Krishna at least 3 times says, you want to know me? You want to see me? Devotional service. So, very simple. You may be in contact, but are you doing pure, unalloyed devotional service? That is the question. At the end of the 11th chapter, it's very clear. Only those who render pure, unmotivated devotional service can see me as I am standing before you. Does that answer your question? Yes?
Thank you. That's a very plausible answer. But I think also the fact is that because in that state, you're totally unconscious, susupti. So you don't make any change in your consciousness. It's just like when you go for an operation. Your body may change. They cut you, they sew you, but your consciousness doesn't change because you were totally asleep, and when you wake up, you have exactly the same desires that you had when you went to sleep. So it's kind of like that.
And I see Dhruta Karma Das had his hand raised.
Just a comment on lockdown.
Yes.
In my personal experience, lockdown doesn't mean that you're just in prison. It means within the prison, normally the prisoners have some time out of their cells. They have rec time, TV time, you know, lunch time, this time, that time. But in lockdown, they have to be in their cell.
Thank you.
So it's kind of like prison within prison.
Yes.
Sort of. And then my question was...
Oh, okay.
Is it enough just to be chanting Hare Krishna? There are statements by Srila Prabhupada that if you're chanting Hare Krishna offensively, you could be chanting for millions of years and be no effect.
That's a question. It sounds like a statement.
No. Is it enough just to be chanting Hare Krishna?
Well, that's the first step. And then, yes, the next step is to, as Krishna told his father, Nanda Maharaj, that one who knows everything about the sacrifice, he gets the full result. So yes, the first step is to be chanting. Then the second step is, now you should learn everything about the chanting sacrifice so that you get the full result. And the full result is love of God. But to begin with, just begin chanting. Then so many other things, rules and regulations, can be added. But I was repeating Lord Chaitanya. Just chant, always. And then, when we come to sixth canto, we will see that in the discussion of Ajamil, the Acharyas will say that even you are offensively chanting, you can become free from offensive chanting by constantly chanting. You will see that alarming purport. And I think it's at least twice. That even if you knowingly are committing offensive chanting, still chant. Because ultimately that chanting will deliver you. I'm banking on that. I'm like, that's my last poker chip. Who else had a question? I thought, yes? Your name?
Bhakta Adam.
Okay, good.
Thank you, Narantra Prabhu. That was a wonderful class. And that point you brought up about addiction and Srila Prabhupada's comment about addiction, we happened to be studying addiction psychology last year, and I was thinking about it so much. It's such a perfect analogy because in Krishna consciousness, in this practice of trying to approach Krishna, in the beginning, I've heard it stated that the internal potency gives us a little taste, you know, gives us a little more than we're qualified to receive. And that's a big encouragement. And in our practice, we're trying to remember, wow, it was so exciting and so ecstatic in that first period. Let it be like that again. Let my determination and my desire to serve be like that again. And that parallels there in mundane addiction. When someone has some pleasurable experience with a drug, for example, in their future use of that drug, they're trying to have that same experience. They call it euphoric recall or chasing the dragon. There's different names for it. But they're trying to get that original high, which they remember as being so pleasurable. But, of course, they're just going down, down, down.
Is it a fact that they can never get that original?
No, you can never get it because as the more you take, the more the brain chemistry is altered and you need more and more and more of the drug to even be normal at a certain stage. Even just to function, you become fully dependent. And that's the hallmark of an addiction is total loss of control in that you'll give up your family, you'll sell everything, you know, you'll become completely insane, always thinking, planning, chasing after that drug. And on the flip side, we want to be like that in spiritual life. You know, always thinking, always planning. How can I serve? How can I get involved? How can I do something for the devotees? How can I do better in my service? So it's such a wonderful parallel, the addiction phenomenon.
And you just explained it even more nicely. Very good. I didn't look on this side. Any questions from the Mataji side or comments? Okay, according to the rules, we're over time. So if you have anything else, you can come see me and chastise me and beat me with your shoes. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira